nerve of that chick. What's up with that?
Blog Talk Radio.
There she goes again.
Good evening, good evening, and welcome to Comic-Con Stars. We've got a full
good
house
evening.
Tonight. Good evening. That's right. We can all be vampires if we want. It's good to have everybody here. Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling, is here. Dave Atwell, sitting there with his cigar, and the one and only Greg Watson. All come. The whole panel is here. It's good to see everybody.
What's
we'll
up?
Start with, so, Greg, since you started, how are you doing tonight? Tell us about tonight. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing just dandy.
Just dandy.
You always overworked as always.
Jim Dandy to the rescue. Go, Jim Dandy.
Jim Dandy to the rescue.
Well, speaking of you, Papa Stroh, how you doing tonight?
Peachy, I just got through having a great workout and feeling better and putting the smack down on this sickness I've had for the past few weeks. So I'm blessed to be here, doing a lot better.
We're glad to have you here. Dave Atwell, what's up?
Oh, man, just celebrating Groundhog's Day Eve with a cigar. And I also, too, am working out 12 ounces at a time. So
I thought at first you were referring to the Super Bowl, Dave, but with the Groundhog Day reference, but.
You wonder why I have such a thick set of shoulders and little pin bird legs? Well, I can explain. I don't drink with my feet.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dave, you brought up a point. We're all waiting for something very important tomorrow, either the groundhog or the memo. The memo.
Yes.
We shall see.
We really shall. I just saw, I think, about an hour ago, it's official.
You didn't get the memo?
Is coming out. The memo gate. This is memo gate now.
Yeah.
Uh-oh,
you've
got to register that one. Anyway, it's good to have all the guys here.
You know, it's great when the politicians start making references from The Dark Knight. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Are we going to find that the government's corrupt? Oh, no, absolutely not. There is no way the government can be corrupt. Oh, God.
No.
And get this. Yesterday, I just found out that yoga was racist. Oh man. Diamond Dallas Page.
Depends on how you're sitting. Yeah.
My bro,
depends on who's doing it, actually.
I saw that, Fred.
So how is yoga racist? I missed that one.
You got me. I have no clue.
Okay.
Well, apparently there's some racist trees in Florida too.
Okay. Anyway,
like they were saying, snow was racist too. Like snow was racist.
Okay. Oh gosh. Okay, we're gonna leave all.
Well,
that.
What would they come up with next? That's hilarious.
Oh, there's no telling. Baby,
I know.
Milk.
Well, what we're going to come up with next is we got Ronald Rossman and James Hurley here to talk about the Carolina Fan Expo coming up this weekend on Sunday, February the 4th,
gentlemen,
in beautiful sunny Hickory Dock, North Carolina, near where I grew up. Ronald Rossman, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. I'm actually entering my domicile as we speak. I was out shopping for the con, so. Let me run to my office. Avoid dogs barking and barking and kids barking and all that stuff.
Ron the man. He's the man. Awesome.
Heck yeah, he is.
The man on the moon.
Well, he's the man today. He's the man today. And Ron, who have you got with you tonight from your wonderful, incredible series, Dusk? I think we have one of your associates. Who have we got with us?
We've got the amazingly talented James Hurley, who plays one of my favorite characters, Fenton Rivers. He was in season one.
Yes,
that's me.
And then season two. James also has a very popular YouTube channel called James Universe. So, James, take it away.
Well, hey guys, how y'all doing? Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I currently play Fenton Rivers from Dusk, and yes, I am a popular YouTuber from James's Universe, where I just do reviews, reactions, and vlogs and that kind of stuff.
Did you
How's
hit 10,000?
How's it going, man? Good to have you aboard.
James,
thank you.
So great to have you on, man, really.
Yeah, truly, man.
I appreciate that, Rob. Yeah, I'm glad to be on board. I like doing this kind of stuff, you know, just get to know talented folks like you guys.
Did you break like 10,000 views or subscribers? How many subscribers you got now?
Currently, I have over 12,000 followers.
Cool.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's calling, so. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool, James.
I had an old channel where I had over 60,000, but then I shut that down, and now it's my fans know where to find me. It's like they're stalking me everywhere I go. So, yeah, my subs will grow quicker than I thought.
That's it.
I don't think I have 12,000 of anything, including
you.
Yeah, well, no idea
like
how many people try
stalked.
To.
I mean, you don't.
Message
yeah,
me
and stuff. Anyway, I'm glad to have you, James. And,
that's awesome.
It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Ron, the reason we've got everybody here together tonight is we've got a wonderful, wonderful production coming up in 1, 2, 3 days approximately, plus or minus. Would you please explain to everybody, because last week now we had Jack Guzman and we had Allison Kuiperman Sullivan on, the Power Rangers Wild Force. And they're coming to Hickory. And tell everybody, in a nutshell, why we're all depending upon Hickory this coming Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
All right, so we have our inaugural Carolina Fan Expo, as you said, John, on Sunday, February 4th from 10 to 6. We have an amazing event. We've got 80-plus vendors, which is just astounding. And this is not just a typical Comic-Con. This is a pop culture con. So we're trying to, as we grow, embrace all genres. We've got amazing panels. Rob Kellum has his Legends of Wrestling, Secrets of the Squared Circle panel. Eastern Exotics, the group that we're supporting, is going to have a reptile show. We've got Jack and Allison doing a Q&A. We've got Antler Hill live in concert, which is going to be phenomenal. And then we've got Brooklyn's Boxing Gym doing a mixed martial arts demo. Josh Flam and his daughter Brooklyn Flam. Brooklyn is a black belt in Taekwondo. She's also a master cosplayer, and we're going to get to see them show off their amazing skills. So then we have, of course, our cosplay contest throughout the day. Our performances will be at 4 o'clock, and our judging at 5:45. Very inexpensive, $10 tickets for adults, 18 or older. Youth tickets from ages 11 to 17 are $5 each, and kids 10 and under are free with a paying accompanying adult. So you can't ask for a more affordable day of family fun. We're going to have funnel cakes. We're going to have tacos. We're going to have taco funnel cakes.
Yep.
Sounds delicious.
Taco funnel cakes.
Yeah. So
anything with tacos,
but, have me at tacos, man.
So, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
so, in our VIP alley, we've got Rob Kellum, who will be there signing autographs and selling his wares. We'll have the Legends of Wrestling, Chuck Sloan, help me with all the names, Britt the Crippler, and
Britt Scott, Buckshot Carter, yep, and Mickey May, and Chuck Sloan.
We'll all be there. And they're going to do a full wrestling panel, which I'm really excited about. I don't think any other con has done this type of wrestling panel, at least that I've been to. And then we've got Jack Guzman and Allison Kipper Sullivan also in the VIP row. So, and Logan Freeman's going to be there. She's Miss Capital City, North Carolina. Is that right? She'll be with Eastern Exotics, I believe.
Out of Raleigh. Out of Raleigh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes, so she'll be there. Yep. And also, we're going to have the amazing, the incredible, the awe-inspiring Greg Bo Watson there, who did our beautiful logo. He'll be there with all of his beautiful artwork.
Sweet.
You're too kind.
And
Yes.
And John and I have now coined that Misty Yates is now the Carolina Queen of cosplay. So
she's,
I love
fantastic.
That. So Misty Yates will be there.
Fantastic.
And and also Al Bigley, and also another huge celebrity, Dave Atwell, will be there. He'll have he'll be there
Atwell.
Next to Greg Bowe, protecting him from the snakes.
Another mother.
So
we got.
I'm excited.
It's going to be a lot. We got a lot
fantastic.
Of fun. And don't forget, Dr. John will be there.
Dr. John Staney will be there. Selling
John.
His new book. New book that you'll be selling.
I wonder if Dr. John has a horse line with Mothman, Bigfoot, Lizardman, and all the freaks of nature.
That's in Wilmington. That's in Wilmington, Rob. That's in Wilmington.
I love to know he's going to sing the bass and tenor. That'd be great. And alto.
I want to take a quick moment before we break into full chaos here to thank Dr. John, because if it wasn't for Dr. John, there would not be a Carolina Fan Expo. I want to thank Greg Bowe, who did a beautiful artwork and helped me get things rock and roll as well. Rob
Welcome.
Was kind enough to come out for the event, and we have a ton of volunteers. And not to mention that all of our cosplayers will be judging the cosplay contest.
Yeah.
We've got Madison Cox. We've got Brooklyn Flam, Corey Willis, CeCe Lynn, Bridget Thrift Quinn. Sorry, I always get her name wrong. Rob Cochran's going to be there as Jason. Everyone knows him. He's at all the cons. He's the really cool-looking Jason. Lance Campbell's going to be there. Ashley Pump. And all these are celebrity cosplayers that are local. Misty Yates is going to be running the whole thing, so I'm really excited. And they've just been completely selfless, tireless. I love each and every one of them.
Fantastic. That's
absolutely.
Awesome.
It's going to be great.
It will.
There's some other thing going on, some foosball game. I don't know, but that's not going to mean anything. So foosball is of the devil, so don't worry about that.
That's right. To be safe, don't be at the foosball game.
Right. The Patriots are going to win. It's all been fixed. Just get over it. Just tape it and watch it when you're done. That's all you got to do. So,
that's
some high quality H2O.
That's some high quality
H2O.
That's right, Bobby.
I'm Bobby Shea.
Oh no, you
but,
wrong.
Mama, I want to play the foosball.
Mama's wrong again.
No,
you wrong.
Oh man,
I think that was Adam Sandler's last good movie.
No toothbrush. That should have won an Oscar.
Yeah. Tom, way you make it.
It was so nice to see Boomhauer finally break out into a movie role, wasn't it? Playing the assistant coach.
Well, yeah, Jerry Reed.
Jerry Reed was phenomenal.
Of course. Yeah, Jerry Reed. That was
the snowman. Yeah. The snowman.
Absolutely.
The snowman.
Yeah. You got your ears on, son.
The only thing is missing with his dog. It'd be great.
Oh, yeah. The dog might make a cameo. That'd have been awesome.
Fred. Or Flash.
Fred.
Was it Flash or Fred? Fred.
No,
yeah.
It was Fred. It was Fred.
Flash
was Fred.
Roscoe's dog. Flash was Roscoe's
dog. Yeah. Coo, 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 Roscoe. Pico, tree, coo, coo. The best scenes in the movie was that biker scene from Smokey and the Bandit when he knocks the bikes over. That was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Anything with Gleason in it when he's hitting the old Junior, I can't talk right now. I'm in a hot pussy suit.
I just want me
Daddy,
to
look at
family.
That big ugly alligator. That reminds me, I got to call your mama when we get to the next town.
When I get home, I'm going to punch your mama right in the mouth. There is no way you came from my loins. When I get home, I'm going to punch your mama right in the mouth.
You kicked her.
Oh, good. That's right.
The scene where he pulls those kids over that are robbing, that are like boosting the car, that the whole introduction of him it was just phenomenal.
Oh,
that's what I call an attention getter.
He's saying the old, take a left, daddy. Take a right, daddy, and we'll be in the clear.
I love when he's holding his hat, walking. So that was great.
Thomas Stroh, you were imitating Dusty Rhodes there, man.
Who, me? No, not me. No, Dusty's a lot better than that.
I tell you what, though, I'd still kill for one of those Trans Ams.
Your Dusty's spot on.
Oh, dude, that Trans Am was hot. You know what would be fun, Rob?
Oh, yeah.
If they had done a tag team with Dusty Rhodes and Bobby Boucher. That would have been an awesome tag team.
That'd be like tag team of a lifetime. Oh, my God. Can you imagine the promos alone would be hilarious?
That's the same.
That's all right, Bobby, baby. We got him, baby. We're doing it for your mama, baby. We're doing it for your mama.
My favorite thing when he told her about that, he was trying to help him find an escape gorilla from the zoo, and she was going to hang up all those signs. Never find that gorilla, Bobby. The search continues, Mama. The search continues.
And Rob Snyder was hilarious, man. Him yelling, well, wake our ass up. We got a game to win tomorrow.
You can't do it. You can't do it all night long.
Still, the best part of that movie was the cross-eyed guy doing the, hey, water boy, check this out.
Oh, God.
Time I see that part, I just fall out laughing. I'm like, that's great.
I think Rob should take on Captain Insano. I think he can take him out.
Oh yeah, let me at him.
Who is that, Rob?
One time in a power plant, I did take on Captain Insano. Because one time on an airplane, no joke, flying back to Atlanta with him, right? He was like squishing me. I mean, Paul's a great guy. I love him to death. But he was like squishing me. I was sitting next to the window, and he's like in the middle of the airplane, and he's like squishing me on purpose, right? Laughing at me. I'm looking at him, so, oh, you just wait, right? We get to the power plant. So we got in the power plant in Atlanta, you know, where they train. That was like the training ground, kind of like WWE has Performance Center in Orlando now.
Oh, yeah.
But we were doing kicking drills, practicing in the ring, and it came to us too, right? And when it came time for me to start delivering kicks to him, right, I kicked him all over the building. I wouldn't let him up. I blew him up so bad he couldn't continue. They had to pull me off of him. You know what I mean? Because I just kept on kicking, right? You know what I mean? And
hey,
I remember Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, taking me to his office, right? And he's like laughing. He's like, dude, I used to think I was crazy, but you're a maniac. And I would tell Paul about that plane ride up there, how he squished him, and he started laughing.
Hey, Rob, did you see that Brock Lesnar hit? The kick to the knee to the head?
That was brutal.
I thought Brock was
going to
kill that guy.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Did you
read his lips when he went to deliver that blow to the head?
Yeah.
Brock Holmes, he's telling Braun Strowman, slow the F down. Bam.
Yeah, and it was funny because if you watch Braun after that, he pulled every punch. He went from looking totally natural to totally like, I am not going to tick off Brock Lesnar again because this man will kill me.
You know, I remember one time, speaking of Brock Lesnar, I remember one time I'm visiting some of the boys in WWE. I think they're in a SummerSlam, right? And yeah, I just got to see the Dudleys. You know, they're going to Hall of Fame this year, by the way, which is really cool. And
awesome.
my friend William Regal from England, UK, which I've known for a lot of years.
Love him.
He was like giggling.
Love him.
He was giggling, telling me, "Hey, mate, come check this out. Brock Lesnar's getting schooled, right?" And I'm thinking, Brock Lesnar getting schooled? Are you kidding me? And he's like laughing. He's taking me to the back. So I was like, okay, let's go. So we sneak to the back and there's like a bunch of boys in the circle in the crowd in the locker room, and we peek through the circle, right? We peek through the circle, and this Kurt Angle riding Brock Lesnar like amateur style, you know, just riding him and stuff, smacking him in the back of the head, talking trash to him, right? He's on him like grease lightning, like wine on rice, you know. And when Brock Lesnar's looking up at Kurt saying, "I hate you, Kurt. I hate you." Kurt Angle's amazing. That guy, what an athlete.
Oh, yeah.
But both him and Brock are, like, top of the line, you know what I mean? NCAA and everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Ron, we talked a little bit about Carolina Fan Expo. Let's tell us a little bit about Dusk, because you've got two of your stars. Well, counting you, there are three stars on here.
Yeah, three stars. Who's
that
third one?
Who is that masked chief? Tell us about the masked chief.
I'm not wearing a mask.
That's the masked man.
John, check
tell
your
us about
focus,
the chief.
Man.
That's all right. Come on. All right, Ron.
So we just got done filming episode 15, which is our only pre-recorded episode of season 2. And you want to talk about a selfless guy. So Rob stood out in the rain for about 9 hours trying to film about 8 minutes of footage. And he did phenomenal. We got to see the chief, kind of the past of what he looked like in the past. Rob looked amazing. We had almost the entire cast there for it. It was a flashback episode. And we'll be airing that on the – yeah, James wasn't there. Ted wasn't born yet, so that would have been eerie if he showed up. We're going to debut that on February 11th on the Dusk Series Facebook page. And February 10th, we'll be pulling down all the live episodes from Season 1. So the only way after February 10th you'll be able to see Season 1 is buying the DVD. But then all the live episodes for Season 2 will air after that. But Rob was phenomenal. And what I love, John, about this cast and is they had about maybe 2 weeks, Rob, right? 2 weks to memorize? I mean, aside 2 weeks with the script. Yeah. And we did everything in one take. The only time we did a second take was to get a different camera angle. But these guys did this in one take. And I mean, it was a solid take. It was phenomenal. And it was incredible. I was trying not to fanboy as I'm filming the episode. And then our cameraman got sick, our cinematographer got sick. So I was directing and filming, which you never want to have me do. And then we had the camera was malfunctioning. So it was just fun filled day all day. And every time we went into the shed that we had our staging area, it would stop raining. Every time we went back out to film, it started raining again.
I'll tell you that, buddy.
I don't know what was worse, Rob, the mud or the wet. I'm still scrubbing my costumes. They're covered in mud. It was like we were in the bog or something. We were in the bayou with Bobby Boucher. Eating alligators. I don't know what was going on. And we had a scene.
Brian is trail of tears.
where we had to keep these torches lit, and I mean it was raining, and we just kept pouring gas in. I'm thinking we're gonna blow up this entire set if we're not careful. So, but it was a lot of fun. The guys are great. So,
and
Pickle Rick
was
there.
Day.
So, yeah. So that was it, John. So February 11th, everybody gets to see the fruits of our labors.
We can't wait. And now where do we
really
all
see
that?
The birthday cake,
awesome.
By the way. The birthday cake was awesome. Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, we got that Rob got to cut a birthday cake with a sword, which was very apropos.
That was amazing.
Flair.
Yep. Now, Ron, be sure to tell everybody who's listening in exactly where do they go to watch this first episode of Dusk for this season. Where do they go?
Facebook, Dusk Series, facebook.com/Dusk Series, and follow and like the page so you can keep track of all of our updates. We're going to have the episodic schedule coming out, but it's facebook.com/Dusk Series, D-U-S-K Series. So,
yeah.
Got you.
But
everybody.
Rob is taking the place of the chief, and as we introduce James as Fenton Rivers, and we're really excited. So, Casey Page is Celeste. She looked amazing, didn't she, Rob? She looked absolutely stunning.
So amazing.
As Celeste. That is the best looking werewolf you will ever see.
Oh, yeah. even on set, when she got ready for everything for the scene, I mean, I just had to step back. I mean, she looked incredible.
She glows. She literally glows. She's absolutely stunning. So we're very fortunate to have her. She's almost as good looking as Rob.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh, gosh. She's amazing, guys.
And she can sing. She was great at the Carolina Artist Showdown in Myrtle Beach, where she won Female Vocalist of the Year, and was just incredible. She took the stage. She tore it up. She owned that stage, and it's wonderful, you know, working with her and having her around. She's a great lady, and she's going to go straight to the top, and has a lot of the folks associated with Comic-Con stars. We're on an uptrend, and I think we've got great people here. I mean, everybody's working hard on their projects. I know that's what makes Comic-Con stars a lot of fun, because we get people that are on the uptake, and we're having a good time,
Amen.
And we all work together. Absolutely.
Right.
So Ronald Rossman, tell us a little bit more about the Fan Expo. If someone walks in the door, what all will they be able to do and experience other than get Dr. John's autograph? Just teasing.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. You got to get Dr. John's autograph. So what's going to happen? Let me go to my hand and computer so I can pull everything up, because I'm an old man and my memory is not what it used to be. So we've got a lot of exciting things happen. So we talked about how much it costs at the door, which it's $10 for adults, 18 or older, $5 for youth, 11 to 17, and kids 10 under free with a paying company adult. As soon as you walk in, you'll get to see Rob Cochran stand at the front door as Jason. He'll be haunting the hallway. Get your pictures with him. You'll walk into this vast 5,000-square-foot volleyball arena. There's actually three courts, and each court has a separate designation. We have a vendor court. We've got an artist alley court, and then we've got our stage area. So if you go to the left, you'll see on the back wall our comic book dealers. If you look to the right, you'll see Greg Bow, Dave, and Al Bigley, as well as Eastern Exotics. We put Greg Bow right next to Snakes because he requested that especially.
Yeah. And then I find out, apparently you jinxed me with that, because apparently I found out I'm going to be at a con in a few months, like sometime in May, and I just got notified yesterday that I'm going to be sitting next to Jake the Snake.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
Snake City for me this year.
The hits keep on coming, huh?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Then we'll have our cosplay registration. That'll be next to the stage. And we've got kids category. We've got a teen category. We've got an adult category group. All of that's available on the website, www.carolinafanexpo.com. www.carolinafanexpo.com. We've got the rules up there. For the cosplay contest, for the adults, first place is $100. Second place is $50.
Nice.
For the teens, first place is $70. Second place is $30. And then for the kids, first place is $50. But all the participants will receive a special prize for participating. That's going to be provided by Misty Yates, which is really, really good for her. Really good on her part, showing how selfless she is again. And then the group, we only have a first place prize. The group is $150. So everybody, you can have up to five people in your group. So if you had five, it'd be $30 a piece. Then we've got our shows, and I'm really excited about those. The first show is at 11 a.m. We've got Brooklyn's Boxing Gym Demo, which I talked about earlier, where you get to see a true mixed martial arts presentation. At 11:45 a.m., we have the Legends of Professional Wrestling, Secrets from the Squared Circle. It'll be Rob, Buckshot, Chuck, and Britt, and they're going to be talking about their voyage through wrestling. They're going to talk about some of the things that no one else knows about. They're going to pull back the curtain, and I'm really excited about that. They've got a special announcement, too, I think, at that event. Then at 12:40, yeah, awesome. That's awesome. At 12:45, we got the live Antler Hill concert, and Neil Lee Griffin and Jesse are phenomenal. So people, I mean, their music is just next level. At 2 p.m., we've got the Eastern Exotic Show, and that's what we're raising money for. Eastern Exotics is an amazing foundation. They raise money not just for wildlife conservation, but they also foster pets that are abandoned, the exotic pets, reptiles, tarantulas, exotic birds, snakes. So they do a tremendous service that nobody else is doing right now. And Eric Devon is an amazing guy, and he's going to have his reptile show there. After that, we're going to have at 3:15 the Wild Forest Q&A with Jack Guzman and Allison. And then the cosplay contest performance is at 4 p.m. And judging those, which is going to be I didn't realize this on the certificates, John. The certificates for the winners, the certificates we're giving out for the winners of the cosplay contest, I just realized this. They're going to be signed by Jack, Allison, Rob. So you're going to have a certificate autographed by two TV icons and a wrestling legend. Where else can that happen?
Amen.
But
hey, can I win, please? Can I win?
So,
I want one.
Yeah, I know. I'm sitting here thinking about how I'm going to enter.
Yeah. And then finally, the cosplay contest will be announced at 5:45. We've got tons of vendors. We've got toys and artists. We've got Matari Bane's going to be there, Charles Drake. We got Will Williams, who's got that phenomenal indie film that we saw at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. He'll be there, and many others. So I'm really excited about this. This is something that I've always wanted to do, and I think it's going to be a tremendous success. And, I mean, you know, the good thing about the con is it's not fixed. So you don't know what's going to happen. Unlike the foosball game where you know what's going to happen. So
I would raise my hand like Glenn Pickens, but Harvey Corman probably told me the same thing. Oh, down the hall to the left.
Yeah. So.
Is that the last house on the left?
The last house on the left.
Oh, that's the movie. That's a movie, John. That's a movie title.
I know.
Or Bad Street or Bad Street USA. Was there the last on the left or the last on the right? It was one of them.
I think it's the right, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
All I know is the hills have eyes.
Yeah,
that's
the wrong turn.
Yeah.
Literally.
Avoid the hitcher.
Golly.
Oh, you have a nightmare on Elm Street.
Jeepers
creepers.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the hitcher because I actually saw that the other day, like the first one with C. Thomas Howell in it. I remember.
Oh, that, I love that film.
Yeah.
It's
and
so
showing
good.
My age, I was, God, I think I was like 16 when that movie came out. And I remember going to the theater and I had, you know, had a date with me. And of course, you got to be cool when you got the date with you and everything. And the whole time I'm watching this movie, I'm going, Jesus, man, this ain't cool. we get out of the movie theater and she's like, well, I want to go to Burger King. No, you don't. You want to go home? I need to park the car and get back to mom and dad's house. That's what I need to do. What's the matter with you? No, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. Is your stomach bothering you? No, my stomach's great. It was like, last thing I needed to do was have all, it was Rutger Hauer. As a matter of fact,
yeah, that's when Rutger Hauer was in his peak.
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He's like one of my favorite actors, Rutger Hauer. He's amazing.
I think
yeah,
I think that was right after Blade Runner. I think that was that
uh-huh.
he did Hitcher, if
yeah.
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because Blade Runner I think was what 84 or something.
Yeah, and he was phenomenal in that too.
Y'all are gonna
yeah,
laugh.
That was one of those movies.
Blind
that...
Fury.
Man,
I watched that movie. It was cool, man. I wanted me one of those swords, those Zatoichi swords, or however you pronounce it.
Yes.
Pretty cool.
John Stamey's first movie was Creation.
Creation?
What? It was 2001. Okay.
Space Odyssey.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
see the ape and the monolith coming to the ground, you know?
Well, I was actually out there trying to sell the ape a caricature and get Cody to draw it, you know, on the moon. Come on.
But, John, that does not compute, John.
That's the wrong series, Papa Stro.
Wrong series.
No, it's not.
It's okay.
Space Odyssey. That was Dave, remember? HAL 9000?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
that was Dave.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You know what?
What are you doing, Dave? That, listen, that's the future of Siri, guys. You laugh, but that's what's going to happen. Dave is the future of Siri. One day Siri's going to, like, lock us out of our houses and kill us all.
Either that or become Skynet.
Yeah, it'll be Skynet.
Siri's
right?
Going to become Skynet.
We've got an Alexa. My son-in-law set up an Alexa here in the house for Christmas. That was part of our Christmas gifts from them. And so, of course, you know, me, all I'm ever doing is pranking the wife, asking stupid questions on there. I mean, because I've said, and it doesn't bear repeating on the air or what I've asked that, but it always answers back. So the other night we're going to bed, and I walk by, and I go, Alexa, good night. And it says, good night, sleep tight. I walk in the bedroom, wife says, did you just say good night to Alexa? And I said, yep. Done run off with a damn six-inch speaker.
At least she didn't say anything.
Hey, you can't get it pregnant. Three fun things to do with Alexa is if you say Alexa, fire photon torpedoes. That's worth the price of admission alone. And then if you say rubble rubble dub dub to Alexa, she'll say, I don't do bird speak. I love that.
I told Alexa the other night that her and Braun Strowman had a good match in the Mixed Max Challenge, and she said, thank you.
If you ask Alexa to make a fart sound, if you ask Alexa to fart, it'll actually fart.
Oh, my gosh.
If you ask her to marry you, she'll say she just wants to be friends. So you can actually be rejected by artificial life form, which is awesome.
It could be the first.
That's great for your confidence.
She actually accepted when I asked her, Ron.
Did she? That doesn't surprise me.
So, I don't know.
My sex doll walked out on me. I mean, that's kind of like our house.
When I asked Alexa to be friends with me, she came back with that Janet Jackson song, Let's Wait a While.
Oh, man.
Comic-Con stars. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the truth.
We cover the most cerebral topics here. Forget about curing cancer. We're talking about how to make Alexa marry us.
That's right.
That's what it's all about.
That's what
Does Alexa still know the answer to the question, what is the secret of the universe? Does she still answer that correctly?
She said,
I've not
asked
that.
John.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Ask Dr. John.
He was there. Dr. John was there. Ask him.
Creation.
Creation.
My favorite thing about Alexa, though, is at any given time, I could walk by and say, Alexa, play Glenn Danzig's Mother. And I could just totally break down to Mother at any given moment. So in the event that springtime comes around and I open the windows up, I'm going to have to remember to tone it down a little bit so that way the neighbors don't hear me hitting the Mother. This is one of the greatest songs ever written, of course. I'm sure Mom wouldn't be proud to hear me saying that, but actually what I wanted to do was I wanted to go to a Mexican restaurant on karaoke night and sing Mother so I could get up there and go, Madre. That's Spanish. Okay, tough room. All right. The jokes are tight tonight.
No Espanol. No habla Espanol.
See? No
prima
doce.
No bueno. You can do it! I learned all of my Spanish from Cheech and Chong.
Yeah. Hey, Bentecos, how you doing?
Felicale.
Stro, do you remember, and this is going back to the good old days of White Oak High School, do you remember Miss Bynum, the Spanish teacher?
Oh, yes.
Miss Bynum, she was like a Civil War widow, and
Where did you go to high school?
Down here at the Old Oak. Of course, I'm not, you know, of course, I'm the old one in the bunch. We're not going to throw Stro on the bus like that, but no.
I think I've been in a lot of buses over the years. So feel free.
I am not proud of it. I had to take 2 years of Spanish, and I cheated my way through both years. And at the end, all I knew how to ask for in Spanish was beer and hookers, because I figure if I was ever in Tijuana, that's all I'd really need. So,
yeah, you don't want to get those two mixed up. That could make an awkward restaurant experience.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh. You're at the Chili's, ordering a beer, and all of a sudden the waitress will see that you're crazy and calls the cops.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, or a hooker on ice.
Reminds me of the first time I went to a Spanish-speaking country. The country is Puerto Rico, right? And yeah. I'm down in Puerto Rico and having the match, and, you know, the people give me a hard time because I was, like, the villain at the time, you know, the big heel, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm in there, you know, and they're chanting, they're cussing, throwing stuff at me, and I'm talking to them in Spanish, but I didn't realize I was cussing them out in Spanish, right?
Ooh.
And I was... And I was like, I was like, "Cállate!" But yes, you know what I mean, all that. And some of my Puerto Rican friends, they're looking at me through the dugout, you know, and they're like, they're waving at me. And I was like, and I'm waving them back. Saying, "Yeah, I'm doing great, man." They're like, "No, don't say that." And I'm looking at them, "What am I saying?" And they told me what I was saying. It's like, "Oh dear God, they're gonna lynch me." So I toned it down.
Going to work in the morning. They'll be all, "Hey, good morning, Dave." And I'm like, "Hey, good morning. Me pelota si mucho frio. Ah, Dave, you're so funny." And I'm like, "I just told that guy my balls are very cold."
Oh, my goodness. Crazy.
No idea, you know.
I took French.
That's awesome.
Oh, jeez.
I can barely speak English.
Hey, and what's funny, I got in so much trouble because I could do, kind of like you guys, I could just cuss in French, you know. And this little girl, you know, I mean, she was just like, you know, straight laced, you know, just you know, the goody girl, you know. And she's sitting there, and she was trying to recite something in French, and she could, and I will never forget this. She had to stand up. We're all sitting down. And I can see, you know, she's starting to get a frog in her throat, getting all nervous. And she looks at me for help, which was the wrong thing to do. And I gave her a slew of profanities, and she just repeated right after me. The French teacher's eyes were big around as silver dollars. My parents were called. And then the funny thing was, flash forward all these years later, and my son Brett takes French. So I get a call, and I have to come up to the high school, right? The principal calls me up there, and Brett had done something similar. And I get in there for a meeting with a French teacher, and she had no idea. She had not put two and two together. And she walks in, and there's me and Brett sitting side by side. And she goes, "Oh, my God, I should have known." That was great.
That's awesome.
You know what the French word for victory is?
What?
They don't know either.
Oh, oh Lord.
You know, when I was in the UK, I just found it real quick what the peace sign meant over there. Because a couple of times people were walking by, you know, it was like habit for me. I do the peace sign, and I get all these like rude looks at me, right? I'm like, "What's going on here?" And then someone told me what the peace sign meant, which it's like an equivalent of flipping somebody off, basically.
Now, is that the same? Is that the same?
Being
thing
French is the equivalent of flipping somebody off.
Hey, Stro, is that the same thing? Is it the same thing, the equivalent in Australia? Because I had a fan tell me something like that one time from Australia. Because if you back at all my picks from about 2 years ago, I was on this kick for like 3 years where I'd always do like the peace symbol, you know, the backwards peace symbol, you know?
Right.
And he told me, he goes, "Stop sending those down here." You don't know what those
So over there, you'd be like Stone Cold Steve Austin flipping a bird, basically.
There you go with your beady little eyes and your funny little shirt.
You know, that's just like throwing the horns. If you're not dangerously careful, you know, it's you know, to say, what is that, I love you or whatever in sign language, you got to stick the thumb out. If you don't have that thumb out, all of a sudden you go straight Beavis and Butthead on it. You're throwing the horns at somebody.
I used to dig the horse with the Ren and Stimpy cartoons. It was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
Ren and Stimpy. I miss Ren and Stimpy. Easy Stimpy.
Oh, my God.
What are you doing today, Stimpy?
Joy.
My favorite one was where they're trying to save the fat lady. When they're the firefighters.
Oh, God, the firefighter episode was hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Save my dog. Save my horse.
Save me.
Save me. He just throws that net away and just lets her squish him. Yeah.
And you can see, and you can see little Red just like freak out when she jumps off the building, and the whole like city like shakes like an earthquake.
talking about cool cartoons. Did y'all hear Animaniacs? They're bringing Animaniacs back.
No way, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
excellent. And I'm hoping they bring Pinky and the Brain with it because I'm like a Pinky and the Brain addict.
Oh yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Show.
What are we doing today, Brain? We're going to conquer the world.
I don't know, Brain, but this time you put the lederhosen on the chimp. Gnar.
That stuff was genius. That's what a lot of these cartoons are missing now. It's like the old Rocky and Bullwinkle. I'll never forget when, you know how they used to always do the recap of the last episode before they go into the next episode, and they say, on our last episode, Boris Bentonoff rendered Bullwinkle unconscious with the sleeping potion. They show Boris standing there with a vial of this sleeping potion and it's bubbling around. And when they say he renders Bullwinkle unconscious, he just breaks the bottle over Bullwinkle's head. It had nothing to do with the potion. He just broke the bottle over his head.
Great. That kind of stuff was
Any
great.
Of that stuff was great, man. Bullwinkle, Peabody and Sherman and all that.
And everybody worries today about stuff kids see on TV, like cartoons and stuff, is going to like rot their brains. I don't think they know where we came from, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you look back at the cartoons we watched.
Oh, my gosh.
And did you know a lot of the cartoons that we watched when we were kids are actually literally banned when they show a lot of the old Warner Brothers
Blanks,
and some of the Disney cartoons?
Ones are banned.
Yes, absolutely. And there's a ton of them that are banned. And I remember sitting there watching those cartoons, waiting, you know, for Mama to get the car ready to take us to school.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm the only thing that galvanized when Ted Turner came out with TNT, or not TNT, but TBS.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys remember, when cable hit, all we had was the UHF. Network channels and everything.
Right.
But then when we got cable and TBS, what set TBS out was the fact that we could actually watch a cartoon on some other time than Saturday. Because, the Flintstones would come on at, 4 o'clock in the afternoon to be an hour of Tom and Jerry and everything. And I'm sorry, dude. I think that's what the world is missing right now, because if I knew I could come home from work and watch an hour of Tom and Jerry, I think I'd be in a whole hell of a lot better mood than what I usually am.
They banned Magical Maestro, for crying out loud. I used to love that cartoon.
Yeah.
But
the magic
I wouldn't
wand
do to get Uncle Pecos every day when I come home. With the, here, kitty, 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 here, kitty. I can't play guitar without a guitar string. Bling. Whoa. Froggy with a cord. He did right. Crumble.
Oh, man.
It was the greatest.
We used to have the coolest stuff, man, because I remember before going to school, I would get up and I'd be sitting there watching, there'd be some tunes, like I was saying. But then it was mixed in together with the Three Stooges and the Little Rascals. And then, you know, they'd be playing those reruns. And then I'd come home in the afternoon and the Adams Family would be on. And it was like,
yeah, man.
Man, this is great.
Adams Family, yes.
Damn Three Stooges, though, man. I swear, still to this day, I am 47 years old, and I am ashamed at the amount of laughter that I can get out of those guys slapping one another.
So
Misty just looks at me. Misty just looks at me like I'm a just complete idiot. But you know it translates because I showed it to Brett when he was real little, and he's been watching them ever since. I mean, it's just like, you know, the Three Stooges is timeless.
Yes,
absolutely.
I Morticia back then was beautiful. Oh my gosh.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
And that tight little dress.
Mercy.
Yeah, Carolyn Jones, she was incredible. I mean, she was.
Mm-hmm. She sure
and
was.
You know that she that the entire time that she played Morticia, she was in stage 3 and stage 4 cancer.
I had no idea about that.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, there's a book out about her and the Addams Family, and yeah, she had cancer, and that's primarily the reason they canceled the show because they really didn't think they couldn't replace her. She may be one of the few actresses in the world that was irreplaceable, and it was incredible.
Yeah,
and Angelica Houston, of course.
Okay. Yeah,
she
was one of the most beautiful women in the world.
And yeah, years later, because I was watching this whole thing with Adam's Family the other day, and I did not realize this, but you know the old Linda Carter Wonder Woman.
Uh-huh.
The first run of the series, her mother, who was Hippolyta or something like that, was played by Carolyn Jones.
Wow!
And
oh,
so,
really?
Yes, Morticia playing Wonder Woman's mom. But what really got me above anything, because, I mean, I was finding all this stuff about the Addams Family because I just love that show, you know. And they actually,
mm-hmm.
on one episode, they had Margaret Hamilton basically playing the Wicked Witch of the West, but as
really?
I think it's Morticia's mother or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
But what I found from behind the scenes was odd was Jackie Coogan and, you know,
yeah.
Uncle Fester.
Uncle Fester.
Yeah.
Do y'all know what his first role was?
Wasn't he one of the Little Rascals?
Yeah. No, that was Jackie Cooper. That was
Jackie
Cooper. Jackie Coogan, who was Uncle Fester. Y'all remember like some of our first film that we ever saw from Charlie Chaplin? You know the little kid? You know the kid?
Uh-huh.
It was always the tramp and the kid.
Yeah.
Jackie Coogan, Uncle Fester, played the kid.
Wow.
I never knew that. And he was married. I can't remember. Dr. John, if you're near something, or somebody, if you're near something to look it up, look it up. But Jackie Coogan was married to one of the most beautiful, what was considered one of the most beautiful actresses in the world at the time. So it's hard to imagine her being married to Uncle Fester, you know?
That's amazing.
Wild.
It must have had something to do with that light bulb.
That's what it was.
I can make this light bulb glow. Let me show you what else I can do with this.
I had about 20 jokes when you said that, and then all of a sudden my brain went into full halt because I was like, no, I can't say that.
Still, though,
hey, Greg,
the two hottest ones that I get from the 60s, the two hottest are the chick who played Nova and Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
that was
yeah.
undescribable. And Lee Merriweather playing Catwoman in the old Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
So stop the presses, man. I'm there.
Yeah.
They were off the charts for me, man.
Speaking of the old Batman and the Catwoman, from there, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
three different women played Catwoman. Yeah, you know, most widely
right.
known was Julie Newmar.
Julie Newmar,
Kitt, Eartha Kitt, and Lee Merriweather.
Lee Merriweather.
Well,
yep.
Before Adam West passed away, they did an animated version, DC did, of Batman, and they did Batman 66, and they drew it just like, you know, the old-timey Batman, and, you know, the opening to Batman where he'd go through and it'd be pow, zip, you know, and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, no kidding.
To it.
Yeah.
And they had every character, even like Egghead and Shame, Louis the Lilac, every one of them showed up in there, and it's all animated. But the only surviving members at the time were Adam West, Burt Ward, and Julie Newmar. And Julie Newmar did the voice of Catwoman. And I wondered, I was like, okay, well, they've got all the different versions of these characters that have been on the show. How are they going to handle the three different Catwomen? They handled it in the most brilliant way possible. Catwoman hauls off and punches Batman in the face during one of their fights. And then you're looking from Batman's point of view, and it goes from him seeing one of them to seeing three Catwomen. But instead of it just being three Julie Newmars, it's she splits off, and it's Julie Newmar, Eartha Kitt, and Lee Merriweather.
Awesome.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
I'm going to have to look that up, man, because that old Batman, I mean, the 66 Batman was just, if you go back and look at it, dude, I mean, it just, and I've often
it
said
was.
About the Joker is that the, you know, Cesar Romero for the 60s played a fantastic Joker. Nicholson
he
killed
did.
An 80s Joker. Of course, Heath Ledger just totally destroyed, you know, the role as the darker Joker and everything. Now, of course, we come to a grinding halt with the Jared Leto one, but nevertheless.
Grinding halt.
Yes. But, man, Cesar Romero, he was fantastic. And, I mean, even Burgess
man.
Meredith playing the Penguin. I mean, we all know that a Penguin doesn't go wham, 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 wham. But nevertheless, Penguins do go wham, 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 because Burgess Meredith said so. So,
villains were the best part of the Batman show, honestly.
Absolutely.
Well, they were. And Vincent Price as Egghead, I loved his stuff he would say. He'd be like, "That's excellent. Oh, you are extraordinary."
Egg jokes, yeah.
You know, egg jokes all over the place. And I loved every one of them had like at least two sidekick thugs. And Judo Gene LaBelle played a bunch of them. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
If you go back and look, you know. And but Eggheads was like, they all had weird names that matched the gimmicks. Like Eggheads was just on the front of their shirt. One was like Foo Young. One was like Benedict, you know. And, you know, it was crazy. But, you know, Mark Hamill, talking about Jokers in the, you know, Annals of
he was fantastic,
Time, the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill as the animated Joker was just flipping incredible. And do you know where the Bob Kane and Bill Finger got the original idea for the Joker? It was from cinema, and it was from, I want to say, an old Lon Chaney film called The Man Who Laughs.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And if you look at the old stills, but you can see that Bob Kane and Bill Finger practically just pulled it right off, you know, the look of Joker. I mean, it's incredible.
You know, Sid Haig from, you know, he's done a lot of Rob Zombie movies, Devil's Rejects and House of Thousand Corpses and all that. He was King Tut. Yeah, he was King Tut in the Batman series.
Really?
Back then. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I talked to him a few times. He would tell me stories of how weird Adam West was on set.
we wouldn't expect anything less, would we?
From Uncle Batman.
Yeah, he would tell me that, you know, they would, after they would do a scene, you know, everybody like sits around, chats and so forth, right? Now, Adam West wouldn't talk to nobody. He'd just go back to his trailer and just be like non-sociable.
No kidding.
I'm gonna be the a-hole in the group. I actually hated the 66 series because I was such a Batman purist that I felt like it was a slap in the face, and like I cannot even watch it today because, I mean, it's ridiculous. I shouldn't be this dogmatic about it, but it irritates me so badly. And when they did the whole shark repellent spray, I felt like I was going to commit suicide at that moment. It was only after the Michael Keaton Batman came out that I actually felt like it had been redeemed. And then, of course, George Clooney's Batman came out, and I had flashbacks of Adam West all over again. But it's sad because I remember having the Mago characters, because that's what they were modeled after, the Mago.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had the back when I was a child, I had the Ertl, the actual Ertl Batmobile, the metal diecast metal Batmobile. I had two of them.
Yep.
I had a small one. Yeah. And I loved that Batmobile because it felt like what a Batmobile was. But I really and I get in so many arguments with people because I just feel like it was so campy. I couldn't bear through it.
You
even
have
an adult.
But you have to look at it. Here's what I had to do because I'm a Batman purist too. I mean, I love Batman. I go nuts. Listen, and Ron, you know this firsthand. When they started announcing Suicide Squad and Harley was going to be on TV, I sat there on the couch while Missy Yates practically cried because you know how she is about Harley. So we're Batman purists and whatnot. But here's how I look at it. I look at everything else as Batman. I look at him as Uncle Batman. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like you can't say, oh, okay, this is Batman in any kind of canon. He was Uncle Batman. He was like the fun-loving Uncle Batman who doesn't quite get it right. That's what you got to look at. Look at that.
Well, it was deliberately done. The thing is, it didn't try to advertise itself or anything else. It was deliberately done to be like a tongue-in-cheek comic show, and I absolutely respect that element of it because what they did was they brought back kind of the fun of comics, but it's the same way I feel about what Ben Affleck did to Batman in the Justice League films. I just feel like I have this. Batman to me is probably the greatest superhero ever because he's the only superhero has zero superpowers, and the reason why he wins is not his gadgets and all that. It's because he's just outsmarts the bad guys, and outsmarts other good guys, and that's what made him so cool. And when they kind of dumb him down, even though it's done, I mean, Adam West wasn't doing it to mock the character; he was doing it to create his own presentation of the character. It drives me crazy. But it's funny. I have no problem with Peter Holmes doing his skits on Batman, which I think are hilarious. And yet, but Adam West bothers me, which is kind of hypocritical.
I have such a hard time hearing you say that because I truly believe, Ron Rossman, that when that alarm goes off, when that clock goes off in the morning in the Rossman household, that you don't roll out of bed briskly and go to the bat poles. You can't tell me you don't. Do it.
Hey, it's like Brett got me for Brett got me from Christmas. I don't know if y'all seen it, but it's like it's life size. I mean, it's to scale. And out of all things, this is what really made me think of. You remember we talked before about how when we were all kids, we didn't have the toys that all the kids have today. I mean, now if something comes out in a movie or a TV show or a comic, they don't even just make every character. They make characters that like walked in the third panel on page three in the back.
Yeah, that don't exist. Exactly.
Yeah, and when I was a kid, you know, they didn't have all that stuff. And Brett found something and got this for me for Christmas. And it's a funny story, but it's life size. And you remember before they would get to the bat pole, they would go up to the statue or the bust of William Shakespeare and flip the head back and turn
the
switch.
Flip the head back, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Brett got me one of those for Christmas. But the even funnier part of that is Brett didn't check with Misty. Usually they check with what they're getting me for Christmas. He didn't check with Misty. So Misty, all the way back in like early October, found this thing and ordered it for me. All right, Brett, in typical crippler fashion, put everything off till about 3 days before Christmas. And Brett orders it last minute, but Brett happened to give me his first. So y'all should have seen the look on Misty's face. Y'all ask her about that on Sunday. Because she was just like, You, where'd you get that? When? How long have you had it? So I had two of them, man. Oh, Misty was angry.
Oh, wow.
And Brett just, of course, pointed at her and laughed.
Oh, wow.
But you talk about those old Mego toys. I used to have the Star Trek, the whole Enterprise.
I had them too.
All that jazz.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. Dude, my mom still has all of those things, man. And I used to sit there for hours because they used to have the old teleporter thing where you put it in there and spit it around. And when you stop it, it would just give you the black side of it. So it looked like they teleported out.
That thing was made of vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
And right now,
if you go down on my desk, there is a Human Torch and the Thing, Mego, sitting on my desk
right now
as we speak.
There were so many crossovers when we were growing. Mego provided so many crossovers that it made Disney's head explode. I think I had one episode where the DC heroes ended up, the Star Trek people ended up in the DC universe, and then they were attacked by the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man. And it was like the ultimate crossover.
Wow.
I can't believe I don't have any. I'm jealous, Dave, because I can't believe I don't have any more of my Megos. But I had all the Megos, and when I say that, I'm not
kidding.
There used to, my grandma. Yeah. I'd go spend the night up at her house, and she'd take me up to this place in Seneca, and it was this old. You remember the dime stores? Everybody used to talk about the dime stores.
Oh yeah, Ben Franklin's and all that. Yep.
Oh yeah, man. There was one called Harper's Dime Store up in Seneca, and she'd take me up there, and I would literally go in the toy aisle. And the toy aisle, this store was so old, there were toys in there, and I guess people just didn't go in there to buy toys or something because the boxes were just covered in dust. You know, you had to wipe the box off to see what was in it. And so they had all these Megos from way back, you know, and I had all of them. I mean, I had the weird ones, man. I had all the superheroes. I had Star Trek. I had, Planet.
Didn't they have Universal Monsters?
Yes,
I
had Wizard of Oz, all the Wizard of Oz. I had Happy Days of all things. I had Happy Days.
Oh, I used to love those. I had the Fonz.
Yeah, I had Dukes, and Fonz had a little thing where you could do his thumb up, you know. And
I remember that. That was a big deal. Multi-posable.
Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard, Chips, all these old things from the '70s, man. It was incredible.
Oh man!
Yeah,
I'll never forget the fight that the Fonz had with the Morg from Ork, Robin Williams.
Oh yeah,
that was amazing.
He came in an egg. Greg, do you remember the Mego Morg from Ork? You could get the egg ship.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Go back and talk to Orson. Yeah, and when you bought
the toy. They had the egg ship toy that you could get.
Yes. Oh yeah, it had the egg ship and everything, and it was Mort, and he would always have to go, you know, talk to Orson and all that stuff, and he'd sit upside down in a chair. Man, he was great.
You know,
those were the days.
When I was in Raleigh, and we were up there at SuperCon because Rob was up there too, and we went to go meet Lee Majors. I kept telling myself, whatever you do, Dave, don't tell this guy. Hey, I used to play with you when I was a kid. Don't say that. Whatever you do, dude, don't do it. I used to roll up your arm skin and take the bionic parts out. Sure was nice meeting you, Mr. Majors. Security.
Did you have the Bigfoot?
My brother got Bigfoot. I got Maskatron. So, yeah.
I had Bigfoot.
Yeah, when.
I think that's one of the most collectible ones.
But the thing about
Bigfoot
is that...
Are you kidding? Bigfoot? This is great.
Steve Austin, he had the bionic parts and the eye.
Calm down, John.
Yeah,
calm down.
Oscar Goldman had the duds. Maskatron had the different faces. But then Bigfoot, all he did was, like, move his arms. And we're going...
And he's one of the most collectible items. I think Bigfoot is the most collectible Mego out there, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because he was so limitedly produced. So,
do y'all remember with the $6 million men action figures, you could also get, they had like a inflatable space station playset.
Had at a garage sale, got it. So,
nice.
Step back. I had the one that was the rocket thing that you could fold out and it would turn into like a lab.
Yeah.
And you could hook the little ropes into the bionic parts and everything and pull the bionic parts out.
Who had the motorcycle you could rev up for Evel Knievel? Who had that one? I used to have that
dude,
one too.
Evel Knievel. Yes, sir. Had that.
I must have gotten four of those. I kept breaking it.
I even got
my mom hated Evel Knievel
figures.
Yeah, because they were like little rubber figures almost. Yeah,
I used to love that show.
Of course,
you have a Stretch Armstrong?
My mom used that.
She hated him
when I was a
Stretch
kid.
Stretch Armstrong, yes.
Oh yeah,
Stretch
Armstrong.
The alien or the green one? What was the green one's name? Because they had to give Stretch Armstrong a villain, and he was like,
God, it was something like Mongoor or something like that.
Something like that.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It looked like a sleaze stack on steroids.
Let me tell y'all, we're sitting here talking about old toys, right? We're sitting here talking about old toys. Misty, who listens to podcasts just all day long, she was sitting there telling me and put me onto the show. And the first season of it's already out if you find it. I can't remember if it's on Netflix or where, but look it up. It's called The Toys That Made Us. Have y'all heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah.
Yes. It is incredible. It talks about behind the scenes, about all these toys we had when we were kids, everything from freaking G.I. Joe to Star Wars to Barbie to freaking what else? Masters of the Universe, you know, He-Man.
Mm-hmm. Lawn darts.
Yeah, lawn darts.
Lawn darts, yes.
You put your eye
we were
out,
just
kid.
Talking about that the other day. You know, now everybody's so scared to give their kid a toy or let their kid do something. And how many of us, our parents, gave us some lawn darts and said, hey, go out, it's warm outside, go play.
You know what I had that was a total freak out and showed you how back then that we weren't snowflakes? Viewmaster came out with two reels from the Alien movie. And they were like legitimate reels from, and they were like blood gory reels from that. And these were marketed to like 8-year olds. And I think they eventually pulled them. And I would like to kick myself because I had it. And I think, there's no way you'd get them anymore. I think they were all destroyed or whatever. But I mean, it was literally, I remember watching them and getting nightmares from my Viewmaster because it was like the alien ripping through somebody. And that was for 8-year olds. And now they're worried about, they're banning that yoga's racist. So now that's a problem. So it's
I
a long way.
I actually love those Viewmasters. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, they actually have an alien action figure, too, which it was a rated R movie with nudity and death and everything, and they had the action figure as if any child knew what this was. The only time I ever peed myself was when I saw Alien. That was that was the scariest movie of all, and they would never replicate how good that movie was.
That was scary.
You know, we all got on this topic talking about the old 66 Batman. Something, to reminisce, to go check out, and I did this not too long ago, because Brett and I have a thing for Hogan's Heroes. And
Hogan's Heroes,
yeah. Oh, I loved it, And so
I know nothing.
I see nothing.
He
I know nothing. I send you to the Russian
love
Schultz. But so
it's so fun. Nazis are so fun, aren't they?
Yeah, they're great.
I'm telling you. But then we got talking about it, and I said, back in the day, I remember on 66 Batman, here he was climbing up the side of the wall, and Colonel Klink, who played a Nazi on TV, was one of the superstars that was out, popped up through the window. But so I got to thinking, I said, I've forgotten all who, man, there was all kind of people. There was Colonel Klink, Lurch from the Addams Family, a bunch of people that you just wouldn't believe. And just like we were talking about earlier about how the villains were so cool and they always got like somebody who was big in Hollywood or on TV or in entertainment somewhere at the time in other venues, they'd get them to come in and play the villains. A lot of people forget about the little cameos when Batman and Robin are climbing the building.
Do you remember the Bruce Lee and the Green Hornet Bruce Lee cameo? And they walk up the wall together?
Yes.
That was the only episode I could tell it. But you know, it's funny. Hogan's Heroes is one of the few shows that actually should have been offensive. Because you had these soldiers in a Nazi concentration camp that was basically like a day camp. And, I mean, the Nazis did such awful things. You're like, yeah, let's make a show that's fun about Nazis. That'll work.
Yeah, no sweat. Yeah. Then you watch Horror and you're like, oh, geez, my bad.
It's like Schindler's List was a comedy.
Well, I still remember watching it, you know, when I was a kid and everything, and I loved the show. And my grandfather was a prisoner of war in Nazi Germany, you know, so he was in a concentration camp. And, you know, I knew he'd been in a concentration camp, so of course, me being a little kid and being an idiot, asked him, you know, if it was like Hogan's Heroes. And, of course, when I was little, he used to always tell me all the time, yeah, it was like Hogan's Heroes. And, yeah, I mean, he'd make up little, you know, little goofy little stories and stuff that they did. And it wasn't until years later when I got older that he was, you know, telling me about, you know, the real deal behind it. So, you know.
Yeah, that and F Troop was probably one of the most racist shows to come out. You'd never see F Troop show up nowadays.
No. Oh, my God.
It was the equivalent of sitcom blackface is what F Troop was.
Yeah. Well, my brother and I were talking about some old Disney stuff. If you go back and watch the original Peter Pan. The Peter Pan. When they go to that island and they got the Indians there. I mean, all the Indians got big nose and the painted faces and they're all
Think about Briar Rabbit. Briar Rabbit and Uncle Remus. I mean, that was...
What did white people? Made it up.
If you go to YouTube, you can actually look at some of how over the years, and this bothers me to a large extent because Disney or anybody who does this, but they took a film that was done back in those days, and every so often it slips into some conventions, Disney goes back and changes it. And so Disney will go back and change it. And if you look, one of the worst offenders, and you wouldn't believe this, I would have thought people, you know, obviously they can take space as fans from the South. But one of the biggest offenders was Fantasia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there are scenes in Fantasia. There's one scene where it's like the, you know, springtime scene, and what was happening is on the screen, the carpet rolls down from the phone or whatever over the stairs, and it looks like it does it on its own. But if you go back and look it up on YouTube, it shows there was a character there that was rolling the carpet out, and it was very, by today's standards, there's no way they could have got away with putting that in there.
What cracked me up was like old Godzilla movies where we had the natives and they're all Japanese and they're like like a makeup on their bodies.
Well, even you mentioned Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry had they've now removed. They still show the cartoons, but I think they took out the voices. A lot of those cartoons, they had the black maid, and that was incredibly racist. I mean, if you're tolerant of that nonsense, you see that and you're like, oh my God, what were they thinking? And it just shows you that there was a lot. I mean,
it was terrible. Yeah.
Wow.
And yet you look at someone like
when Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull came out, and they had, you know, Indian there with the communists at the time, And I remember, you know, Spielberg saying, well, we didn't want to go with the Nazis because, you know, we want to forget about Nazism and we don't want to keep up with that stuff. And we look at it and I'm thinking, wow, 40 years from now, they'll do a movie and go, hey, we didn't want to keep up with the communists. We're doing Al-Qaeda.
Well, they keep changing stuff, man. They went back to E.T. and took out all the FBI's guns and placed them with walkie-talkies.
Yeah, that was one of the stupidest things. That was one of the stupidest things ever. Is anybody else hearing that noise, or am I losing my mind?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Noise?
Somebody's got some machine gun fire going on.
It sounds like someone's washing clothes.
That's what I thought. I thought somebody had climbed into their washing machine.
Or making homemade ice cream. One of the two, yeah.
It's like, I got to wash my clothes.
Talking about Washy Closey from the Little Rascals?
Little Rascals? John.
Washy Closey. John, what are
did
you
someone spike
about?
The punch tonight or what, man?
Yeah, somebody's on
John,
the artillery
John
range
just
right
out
now.
The washing machine.
I think John got in Dave Atwell's bottle.
That was a lot of clanging and banging going on right there.
Yes, they are all empty at my house,
let me tell you that.
No, listen, that was the Chinese laundry episode of The Little Rascals. And the young Chinese man kept saying, "We wash your clothes." And nobody knew what he meant until they all came to his parents' business. Found out they washed clothes. Wash your clothes.
Creation.
You're right. I mean, that's what I remember from 1933. You know, being 147,
wow,
it's great.
Of course, now you still got South Park doing the shitty pot, shitty chicken.
it's funny that it's shitty pot.
I'm like, I like my chicken dead, deep fried like Popeyes.
Oh, yeah.
About the fact that South Park, Family Guy, Tosh.0, all of these guys make the most racist jokes, but they get away with it. And you say to yourself, how does that work, but this doesn't work? And they're like, well, it's in good fun. And you're like, that was in good fun. I mean, you think about Blazing Saddles. Blazing Saddles could never be made today. One of the greatest comedies of all time. We're never made today.
It's so funny. I was watching on the Family episode, and I saw like Lamont and the sheriff and Blazing Saddles as thieves.
And
a Archie Bunker episode. Like, this is so crazy.
Oh, that's great.
Have you guys ever seen Fletch Lives?
Yeah.
Jimmy Chase.
That's got the sheriff from Blazing Saddles in it, and I wish they would have done more with him, but that's probably one of Chevy Chase's funniest movies is Fletch Lives.
That guy's so talented. He's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I loved him on what was that show? Community.
I still remember Modern Times when Nell Carter said, "This is demon powder." And she puts it down and he snorts all the demon powder up.
Oh, my God.
That was the best part of that whole movie. That movie was absolutely awful. But when he snorted all his demon
Spies
powder
like
up.
And Spies Like Us.
Yeah,
you know,
that was
like hitting on,
that was another
hitting
one, though.
He's hitting on the girl, right? And the actress actually is Dan Aykroyd's wife. So he's hitting on his wife.
Papa Stroh,
he married Donna Dixon, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, because Donna Dixon was in Bosom Buddies, and she was like there. She was in Wayne's World, too, if I remember right.
She was also in Dr. Detroit with Dan Aykroyd, also.
That's
James
right.
Brown.
Wow. Anyway, this is Dr.
Just one of the ladies of the evening, if you will, on that one.
Dr. John's got a survey question for everybody. It's a quick one.
Uh-oh.
And I want to ask you this, and please don't run to the internet to answer it, because I want to see.
Oh boy.
Does any no? It's
Test
a simple.
Time.
It's a Batman. It's a Batman 66 question. Does anybody remember Vincent Price playing Mr. Freeze? Does anyone remember that?
No,
I don't. He played Egghead.
Right. I'm still trying to forget all Schwarzenegger playing Mr. Freeze.
That was pretty awful.
But no one remembers. Stay cool. No one remembers. Vincent Price playing Mr. Freeze. Just checking. Okay.
John, did he play Mr. Freeze? You can't just leave us hanging with that. Did he play Mr. Freeze?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well,
yeah, we got nothing to play with. You don't let us know.
We will have a discussion on that one Sunday at the Carolina Fan Expo, okay?
The guy who played Mr. Freeze on 66, I can't
John
remember his last name, but his first name was
Otto Preminger. Okay. Hey, Greg, we'll all have a discussion about this. This is a Mandela effect discussion, so we'll move forward.
The cliffhanger. I love cliffhangers. Remember that movie from the last series, Cliffhangers, where they always like leave you hanging, basically.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Exactly. It's been a lot of fun. Listen,
my favorite part of Super Friends was Ted Knight's introductions. That was my favorite part. Meanwhile, back at the Super Friends lair.
Yeah. All right. And you know what? I'm gonna have to cut everyone short because we've got about 6 minutes left, and everybody gets a 45-second plug. Oh no, we've got 4 minutes left, so everybody gets a 30-second plug, including you, Dave Atwell. Only 30 seconds. So I'm gonna start with Ron Rossman. What's your 30-second plug?
Carolina Fan Expo, Sunday, February 4th, 10 to 6. Make sure you're there. You can buy your tickets online at www.carolinafanexpo.com. Make sure you like, share, and follow the Dust Series Facebook page. Boom!
Thank you. Thank you. Perfect. James Hurley, what is your 30-second plug?
Yes, you know, be sure to get there at the Carolina Fan Expo, as Ron said. But in other stuff, you know, be sure to check out my YouTube channel at James Universe. That's YOU Universe. Please like, subscribe, and check out my stuff. And I got a Facebook page where you can check me out and look my up. So yeah, there.
We will do it. You've got an extra fan. I already subscribed to you tonight. Okay.
Sweet.
All right, that's great. Dave Atwell, what's your 30-second plug?
Yeah, what James and Ron said. That's a 10-second one. How's that?
Oh, my God. You have never had a 10-second plug in your life. We love you. We're glad
you like
okay.
That, huh? That was pretty sharp.
Yeah,
I'm on it.
We did. You're the best. You know,
don't dare me.
We're glad that you're here. All right. Greg Bo Watson, what's your 30-second plug?
In my younger and more formative years, I will be at Carolina Fan Fest this weekend, obviously Sunday, and then just punch my name into Google and follow me somewhere.
All right, we'll do it. Whatever that means. Papa
Nicely
Stro,
done,
Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling. What is your plug?
Well, Saturday I'll be on set for a new So It Begins rock music video featuring the lovely Alexa Zadra, who is a spokesmodel for Smith & Wesson. And Sunday, of course, it'll be Fan Expo with all you guys. And for all the latest on TV, wrestling, film, especially the Dust Series coming out in February, go to Dust Series on Facebook, just like Ron says. Check us out. My official website, TheStro.com, Facebook at TheStro the Maestro, Twitter at TheStro, and on Instagram at Stro Maestro.
All right, we will do that. And now I will say, with 1 minute and about 15 seconds left to go, this has been the most fun that you can have as Comic-Con stars. We have a great time. Comic-Con stars, come see us at the Carolina Fan Expo. Come listen to us next week. We will have another bunch of great guests coming up. We've got I'm not going to give that out. We'll start next week telling about our upcoming guests. Thanks to everybody for being on tonight. It was a lot of fun, and we will see you Sunday, Carolina Fan Expo.
Sunday.
CarolinaFanExpo.com and on Facebook. Thank you very much. Good night. Sleep tight.
of Dieter Zane to you. I had to get the sound and music thing in there. Alexa, you don't have the lock on a Dieter Zane, okay? Cheers.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Stretching your arm strong.
Good night, John Boy.